Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Live out here at Titans Training Camp, the pads were on today. It was so nice to hear that pop of the pads at practice today. No D Mace today. Very well-deserved day off for Derek Mason. But Willie Donick is here. Where in the world is Willie D today?
It's always a question. It seems like these last few weeks of summer, Caroline, I'm coming
and then throughout hockey season, where in the world is Willie Donick?
That's right. Yeah, I always keep you off guard on that. You never know. So today I'm in the great state of New York. I'm in the capital region near Albany at my parents' house in a town called Cambridge, New York. So visiting with family up here, and we'll be full vacation here in a couple of days. But glad to catch up with family up here. My niece and nephew, my brother live up here as well. So I'm a lot cooler than you are right now, Caroline. Not in the sense of, like, you're a cool person, but, like, I feel like at training camp, I know the temperatures tend to be pretty high. I don't think it's quite as hot today, but I can guarantee you I'm a lot cooler up here.
It's not terrible today. It's really not. And that's compared to what it has been and what I know it can be. It's still about 90 degrees and everybody's melting, but it's not as bad as it has been. But very well-deserved vacation for you, Willie Donick. We'll miss you the rest of the week, but enjoy time with your family. But yeah, it is hot. And Nick just reminded me that it's only going to get hotter. So I'm excited for...
Oh, very nice.
Sorry.
Excited for that. That's all right, Nick. That's all right. You do not have to remind me. Titans practice is wrapping up now. We'll have a full breakdown of what I saw at Titans practice today, what Willie thinks about what I saw from Titans practice today. We'll get into that once practice wraps up in about 15 minutes. Christian Fulton will join us in about 15 minutes once practice wraps up. But I want to start here before we can get into all the nitty-gritty of Titans training camp, what I saw from the quarterbacks today. I want to start here because Mike Sando of The Athletic finally released his quarterback tiers. And this is something that Mike Sando does every single year. And it's not necessarily Mike Sando's tiers. It's not just his list that he comes up with. He polls 50 NFL coaches and executives, all who are anonymous, all with league insiders, all breaking down their thoughts and their votes for which tier and where each quarterback should rank amongst each other. So, of course, what I do with any sort of list, whether it's a quarterback list or a coach list or a running back list, whatever it might be, I just scroll to the Titans. I just scroll to wherever Ryan Tannehill is. So Ryan Tannehill sits in Tier 3 at number 22. So in Tier 3, starts off with Kyler Murray at 13, Derek Carr 14, Jared Goff 15. Russell Wilson, 16, Tua at 17, Jimmy Garoppolo at 18, Daniel Jones, Geno Smith, Justin Fields, and then Ryan Tannehill. Mike Sando writes, and this is the evaluation and some of the quotes from the league insiders and executives that were polled. It says, the Titans' talent drain on offense left Tannehill in a difficult situation last season. He did not plummet in quarterback tiers voting, but he did sink deeper within Tier 3. One exec said, would you rather play with him or against him? To be honest, he's probably someone I'd rather play against. Those three interceptions in that Bengals game could have been the beginning of the end for him. Another exec said Tannehill is at a pivotal point where his replacements are already on the roster, and in order for him to be the starter in Tennessee a year from now, the level of play would have been so high that meeting those expectations seems almost unfair. So, Willie, your thoughts on where Tannehill is ranked and some of the justification for Ryan Tannehill being 22 in the list of 32 quarterbacks in Mike Sando's quarterback tiers.
I look forward to this every year from Sando. I think you get some really good, unfiltered critiques of the quarterbacks here. So, Tier 3 didn't surprise me at all. I think it's a very fair evaluation. I think the troubling thing, and this is probably to be expected at this stage of Tannehill's career, is that it's not just Tier 3. It's sort of the bottom of Tier 3 now, or towards the bottom. In other words, he only got one vote in Tier 2 this year, and he got more Tier 4 votes, 5, and Tier 5 votes, 2, than he got Tier 2 votes. The overwhelming number of people had him solidly in Tier 3. So I'm not quite as concerned of whether he's above Daniel Jones or above Justin Fields or anything like that. It's that he is now considered straight up a Tier 3, whereas a couple of years ago, he was right on the edge of Tier 2. He was getting a lot of Tier 2 votes, and I thought you could really make the argument he was a legit Tier 2 guy. When you just go by the definition, I do like Sando's definition of the tiers. Yeah. I think that is important. So there are some rankings that I sort of cast off as, you know, not really relevant. I put this in one of the more relevant rankings that you have. And I think it illustrates that for the Titans to be successful and for Tannehill to be successful, he needs good support around him, maybe more so than he ever has.
And I would agree with you, because it's not just one person's opinion about the quarterbacks. It's not just one writer at ESPN or The Athletic or CBS Sports or whatever it might be. This is people actually in the league that watch the film, that break it down, that do this for a living. And it's 50 different league employees, executives, whoever it might be. It's 50 different people, and all of their opinions kind of squished together. So Tannehill in Tier 3, and the definition of Tier 3, is a quarterback who is a legitimate starter but needs a heavier running game and or defensive component to win. A lower volume dropback passing offense suits him best. Which, in that definition, Willie, I think that fits Tannehill well. I don't have any problem with Tannehill kind of being in that tier. But you look at the past couple of years and how it's shifted, and I like how in this article on The Athletic and Mike Sando's quarterback tiers, you can see over the years the vote breakdown. So in 2021, it was almost half and half of Tier 2,
right,
Tier 3 votes. Tannehill had 27 Tier 2 votes to 23 Tier 2 votes in 2021. The next season in 2022 kind of shifted, 45 Tier 3 votes, only 5 Tier 2 votes. So I think that was the Bengals game effect. Everybody saw Ryan Tannehill,
yep,
throw 3 interceptions against the Bengals, and I think everyone's perception shifted of Tannehill. In 2023, in this season, he had 2 Tier 5 votes. I don't even see a Tier 5 here. He had 5 Tier 4 votes, and Tier 4, the definition of it is a Tier 4 quarterback could be an unproven player with not enough information for voters to classify, or a veteran who ideally would not start all 17 games. Over,
right,
a 2-3 season period, the perception of Ryan Tannehill has shifted dramatically. Is it fair?
And he's aged in a couple years. I think that has something to do with it. I think he was, if you look before he became a Titan, he was well down in that Tier 3 phase. Cassando's been doing this for a while. So he elevated up to fringe Tier 2. He played the best years of his career with the Titans. He really put a charge into the franchise. Mm-hmm. And I'll always credit Ryan Tannehill for that. Like, someday when we go back and look at what he's done for the franchise, you know, 2019, 2020, 2021, those are huge years of success compared to the entire arc of the Titans, and he has a lot to do with that. So now where is he? I think what the league is saying is, look, he can still get it done, but you got to have the offensive line fixed. You got to hope that Derrick Henry can still carry the team to a degree, and you have to hope that the roles in the passing game get defined, and that you have a top 10 defense. You put all that together, Ryan Tannehill, I think, could be part of a winning team. I think that's a fair assessment. You get down into tier four and tier five, you're basically saying the quarterback is pulling the rest of the team down, that he's not up to par. A tier three is still a guy that you can win with if you have the rest of the pieces.
Tier three is fine. I have no problem with classifying Ryan Tannehill as one of those quarterbacks that's a starting quarterback in this league, but just needs a little bit more help. We've never called Tannehill one of those guys that can carry the team 17 games a year, like we've seen Patrick Mahomes be able to do or Joe Burrow be able to do. I mean, those guys are just elite. We've never called Tannehill that. We've never claimed that Tannehill was ever that kind of quarterback. Tier three is fine. But I just think that the justification and some of the quotes that were pulled from this article, from some of the execs that were voting on these tiers, they're just, it's not giving Ryan Tannehill a fair crack at it. Because voting him as a tier four or a tier five quarterback, even that's saying
tier
that he's not
a
starting quarterback.
It's
ridiculous. You're saying he doesn't deserve to be a starting quarterback in this league. Ryan Tannehill is one of the top 32 quarterbacks in this league. He is a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I'm surprised he got tier four, to be honest. I think at this stage, I think he's just a rock-solid tier three. I don't think anybody's arguing for tier two anymore, but I think you're being a little harsh if you're going into tier four, to be honest with you. And what you're reading in the evaluation, you're seeing probably the worst of Tannehill. I still think if you give the guy a shot, he can still be effective, but he is relying on the talent around him. The other big thing that I didn't see specifically in there, only a little bit of a reference, is how are his wheels? Because one of his big weapons, I think big tools, is the ability to run effectively. And after the ankle surgery, what is that going to look like this year? I think that's an unknown.
And I do want to get into that. Speaking of the wheels, saw a little something of that today. But like I said, I have no problem with the tier three ranking. But where he's ranked amongst those quarterbacks, I disagree with. Because I'll ask you, Willie, right now, this season, game one, 2023, Titans at Saints, who would you rather have under center for the Titans, Kyler Murray or Ryan Tannehill?
Ooh. You said Kyler or Derek Carr. Did you say Saints?
I said Kyler. I'm just thinking, like, week one, Tennessee Titans against the Saints, you know, who would you rather have lining up for the Titans, Kyler or Tannehill?
Oh, well, okay, so you're taking aside Kyler's injury, lack of availability, et cetera. I thought you were comparing Carr to Tannehill. It's a great question because they're both in the tier three, but you're looking at a couple guys that are upper tier three according to the votes. See, it's such a completely different thing. Kyler Murray is really a guy that is being asked to be a tier one or a tier two. The team is built around him being the dynamic difference maker, and he hasn't been. I think Ryan Tannehill has always been, since he's been with the Titans, on a team that is built to succeed around the quarterback position, not because of the quarterback, right? It hasn't really been like that since they had Steve McNair, when you get down to it. Well, you know, I'm trying to think with rare exceptions. When they've had good teams the last 10, 15 years, it's with solid quarterback play, but they haven't relied on the quarterback to go win games for them. Kyler Murray, to me, to be in tier three, that's one of the reasons why the Cardinals are where they are, right? Because he hasn't lived up to the expectation level.
Right. And I have always felt like with Kyler,
I would rather have Tannehill. I'd rather have Tannehill than Kyler Murray.
And I would agree
with you. For this team this year.
I would agree with you. And if you want to talk about upside or the next 5 to 10 years, that's a totally different conversation. But just looking at where the quarterbacks are ranked in Tier 3, and again, Tier 3 is a quarterback with a legitimate starter but just needs a little help from around the team. Kyler Murray, Derek Carr, Tua, Jimmy Garoppolo, Justin Fields, all quarterbacks that are ranked above Ryan Tannehill in Mike Sando's quarterback tiers. But honestly, all quarterbacks that I would choose Tannehill over. All quarterbacks that, if you gave me Tannehill or those quarterbacks, I would take Tannehill. And maybe that's a Titans Nashville radio host homer in me. But I feel like there's a perception of Ryan Tannehill that isn't necessarily fair. That Kyler Murray or maybe Justin Fields or Jimmy Garoppolo gets a benefit of the doubt that Ryan Tannehill just doesn't get around the league.
you know, it to me, the guys that are really interesting to circle in this group of quarterbacks that are slightly ahead of Tannehill, Geno Smith is an interesting one because he's sort of in his own category, just was sort of on the shelf collecting dust for however many years, 6, 7, 8 years, comes back and has a great year, and all of a sudden he's ahead of Tannehill. I'm not sure. I want to see Geno Smith do it again. But the guys that are interesting to me are Garoppolo, Carr, and I think there was one more. Like, who were the guys? Like, people were, when there was a little bit of musical chairs going, and we were discussing theories of, hey, if the Aaron Rodgers dominoes fall, and you start getting calls about Tannehill, who would you end up with if you wanted to change from Tannehill? And I think the Titans pretty clearly came back to the conclusion of, we're better off hanging on to Tannehill, keeping the continuity. He's just as good, if not better, than, you know, Geno Smith or Garoppolo or Carr, especially when we know what we have in him. So I think how he does compared to those quarterbacks is going to be really interesting to watch.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, Ryan Tannehill ranked 22nd of 30 quarterbacks in Mike Sando's quarterback tiers. I don't think it's fair. I don't think anyone gives Ryan Tannehill the benefit of the doubt. We'll get your thoughts on that, and we'll continue to break down the rest of Mike Sando's quarterback tiers, but we will hear from Mike Vrabel at the podium coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, the game and the Game Nashville app, live out here at Titans training camp. The pads were on today, and boy, oh boy, it is a beautiful day. Hey, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mays is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. We will hear from Mike Vrabel at the podium in just a few minutes. Christian Fulton will join us as well. And really, one thing that I wanted to ask Christian Fulton about, and one reason why I was so excited to get him on today, was because Mike Vrabel, as we've discussed, Mike Vrabel will give credit when it's due, and he'll also be tough on his players when it's due as well. And I think we've seen that with Christian Fulton. Heard Mike Vrabel give him some praise last week and then called him, hey, he's lackadaisical at times, needs to be a little bit more consistent. And then over the weekend, when Mike Vrabel took the podium on Saturday, he had a ton of praise for Christian Fulton, some of the work he's been putting in the offseason. So that's what I want to talk to him about. What's he been doing in the offseason? How have you worked at getting a little bit bigger? How have you been working on moving the body a little bit better? How have you been working to try and stay healthy? So I'm excited to hear from him about that.
Yeah, his offseason program, I know, was the subject of some discussion, you know, of what he's trying to do in a contract year to avoid what has slowed him down. He's a guy that when he's been on the field and been right, healthy, he's very, very good. Right, I think he's missed some games. We know he's also played some games that he has not been 100%. Right, and especially when you're battling a hamstring, like what does that do? He's on the field, but maybe not doing the things that he really is capable of doing. But we know when he feels good, he's a really solid corner, and he's trying to earn that next contract. He's an interesting guy because, to me, he's the guy that the Titans, to me, would love to keep if he has a great year, but he would then get a very big pay raise, right? Corners get paid in this league. And so these are the decisions on the horizon when you have Jeffrey Simmons' contract kicking in next year, the big number, and you have Tannehill up. What do you do with him? What do you do with Henry? What do you do with Beyer? A lot of unanswerable questions at this time. But Fulton, we know he's at the stage where he can get a really nice contract with a good year.
And just sat down with us, Titans cornerback Christian Fulton. Christian, pads were on today. How'd it feel?
Felt great to put them back on. You know, it's been a long time coming, you know, since our last game. Just felt good, you know, to, you know, hit the pads, hitting, you know, with everybody, you know, and energy was up. So I felt good out there, and everybody felt good out there, really.
And I heard Vrabel on Saturday, he was at the podium, he talked about how you look bigger, you're moving better. And that's something that when we were standing on the sidelines, myself and some media members, Christian looks big. Mm. What have you been doing in the off season to get to this point?
Really, you know, just the different training, you know, that I had this year. I took a different approach, you know, working with my guy David Alexander. you know, shout out to him. He's put me on a great plan, you know, focusing on what I need to focus on. I'm healthy, you know. I came off of shoulder surgery last offseason, so I was working on getting my weight back up upper body wise. And this offseason, you know, I just had the, you know, ability to just focus on my body and what needed to be worked on. So I was able, you know, put the work in on all areas.
So you said you decided to make or to take a different approach this offseason. Titans cornerback Christian Fulton is with us. Why did you make that decision to do something different this offseason?
When I had got hurt last year with my groin and I was out for a couple weeks, you know, I just had to take some time out. Thanks off with my guy, one of my friends, Ken. We took the time out and, you know, just sat down and figured out what the difference we need to do, you know, and we took that approach on, you know, finding a trainer, you know, that works on those things and wanted to be, you know, take that approach and make the focus on the small details, you know, whether that was, you know, training, eating better, you know, those things, all those play a part. And, you know, and my guy trainer, you know, he gave me a lot of game on what I should do, you know, to maintain that throughout the season.
Christian Fulton is with us. He mentioned the groin injury. And that's kind of been something over the past couple of years. The hamstring, groin, you've struggled to stay on the field. How has that kind of fueled you going into this season to stay healthy, going into a really pivotal year for your contract here in Tennessee?
I mean, it's fueled me a lot because I know what I can do when I'm on the field. You know, I play really well to help the team. You know, I do my job. And it was just frustrating going through those things because I wanted to be out there and I couldn't be out there. So, you know, I just had to take, you know, accountability on myself on what I could do better, you know, in the off season. And, you know, just talking with the trainers, you know, and seeing what they can help me with, you know, with them implementing some things, you know, that could help me out a lot. You know, going into practice, going into games, you know, just the smallest things, you know, what I could be better at. So it's, you know, accountability on all parts, you know, that we took that approach on.
We're talking to Christian Fulton, cornerback for the Tennessee Titans. And Christian, one of the things we were just talking about, it seems like when you are healthy and you feel good out there, you can play at a really, really high level. How many games would you say? They always say that nobody's 100% at a certain point of the season. But what percentage of the games do you feel like you've been at full strength where you can be at your best? And how many games have you had to sort of fight through some things?
Really, all my first three seasons, really, I was fighting through something. I feel like I don't know if nobody knows this, but this is my first off season where I've able to put together a real plan, you know, for my body where I'm not coming off the season trying to heal something, coming off a surgery or something. This is the first off season where I've been able to, you know, be healthy, put a plan together, and stick to that plan throughout the whole off season. Because, like, even in my rookie year, you know, I'm coming off the championship, a long season with the championship. It was straight combine. Then we had COVID. You know, all those things just, you know, factoring in. So, this is the first time, you know, where I feel like I'll be out there 100%, you know, with both shoulders feeling fine, my hamstrings, groins is feeling fine. So, you know, I'm excited to see what I can do.
That is really exciting. One of the things I heard Mike Vrabel in a long – I don't know if you ever listen to the Bussin' with the Boys, but sometimes you get a real different viewpoint of Coach Vrabel when he's talking to Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. I think it's a really interesting thing to hear those guys talk about what makes Mike Vrabel tick, how he tries to motivate his players with pointing out praise but also pointing out constructive criticism in his own way. What is that like for you? What's your relationship like with him?
We have a really good relationship. You know, he's a former player, so he understands what we go through. He understands, you know, the things that we go through off the field, on the field. And I respect that because that's something that you need a lot in this league. You know, we go at it every day, you know, physically, mentally. And he understands that. You know, he gives us, you know, the green light to come in his office, talk to him. You know, we talk to him when we see him on the hallways, you know, in the meeting rooms. He comes in the meeting rooms and talks with us. You know, he always talking ball, you know, and how we could be better as players. And, you know, he takes accountability on his end, you know, whatever, you know, we go through as a team, you know. So I really respect that from him, you know. We have a real good relationship, you know, and, you know, we still continue to build on that.
As you know, corners are that are really first-rate corners in this league are hard to find. You've got a great opportunity here. How do you try to put that in perspective? Because you're trying to play for a winning team, play for a great defense.
Yeah.
But also, you've got your future, and it's pretty bright if you can put together a really good season.
Yep. You know, just my mindset right now is just, you know, taking it one day at a time, you know, working on, you know, my body, making sure I can get through camp. I did some great work out here, you know, from my receivers, getting some good looks. So I feel like, you know, if I just take it day by day, you know, and I get better every day in camp, make it through camp healthy, And once the season comes, that'll be my same approach. You know, as far as the season, I'll take it day by day, one game at a time. And, you know, just try to stack weeks. I know if I'm out there, my confidence will grow highly. And like I said, I know I can be a number one corner in this league.
What have you noticed from Treylon going up against him one-on-one in practice? What have you noticed from him year one to year two?
His confidence, you know, his confidence has grown. You know, he's got a better understanding of the game. I feel like it's slowed down for him. You know, he knows his angles, you know, and his different routes that he runs, you know, and I feel like he's built that connection with Tannehill, you know, today they talk and they know, you know, what they want to work on, you know, going against us. And, you know, just giving them a great look. You know, we want to get them great looks because we know they'll see some good corners, you know, going up this year and going up against this year. And like I said, just that confidence, obviously his body, you know, he's taking care of his body, you know, throughout the offseason to where he looks bigger, faster and stronger. So that's what I see from him, you know, heading into this camp.
What's your goal this season?
Be the number one corner in the league.
Pretty good goal.
Yep.
Pretty good goal.
Yep. Simple.
All right. Now, Christian, I got to sneak this in. Caroline, I cannot believe she's waited this long to ask an LSU question because she is an LSU grad.
I'm trying to remain right as partial as I possibly can, but go Tigers.
Right. Yeah, she's trying to be very professional. She's trying to be professional. Mm-hmm. But, Christian, I was down. I actually went. My son was playing in a baseball tournament down there last week, and I got a chance to get on the campus. Hadn't been there in a long, long time. But it's so awesome. You can see, you know, why everybody would be excited to go there. But, of course, you grew up in Louisiana. Your brother played at LSU as well. So what was that like growing up, watching him play? Did you always want to go there?
I actually didn't, honestly. When I was growing up, I wasn't very much an LSU fan. I knew they were good, you know, but I wasn't actually an LSU fan. I kind of was like a fan of another team in the SEC. But once I, you know, had my first visit as a freshman going into my sophomore year, I fell in love. I knew I was going to LSU, you know, just with the history that they have for DBs. They're a winning school. They put guys in the NFL. I knew that was one of my goals, you know, in high school. So it was just a perfect plan for me, you know, being from Louisiana, New Orleans. And, you know, I met Coach Raymond, and he showed me what it would take, you know, to be a guy in this position that I'm in today.
You made the right decision.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I got
one last one. The 2019 team. We were just at LSU, at SEC Media Days, we had an interesting debate. Some of the greatest teams that we've seen. I'm a little older, so I can go back a little farther than some of the people that we were discussing this with.
Yeah.
But the 2019 team that you were on has got to be on the list somewhere of the best teams of the last 20, 30 years in college football.
Definitely. I'm going with us number one. You know, I like us. I don't see nobody stopping that offense. You know, they have some good teams, like that Miami team. You know, they have some guys, some great, great players. You know, we still building our way, you know, making our legacy in the NFL, that team. But I like us, you know. We were pretty confident, you know, whoever we were going against that week. And like I said, we still making a name for ourselves right now in the league today. So we should probably have that conversation probably in about 10 years where we'll see us in Miami.
Titans cornerback Christian Fulton joining us. Christian, appreciate your time. Good luck with the rest of camp.
Appreciate y'all having me.
All right, we will take it to Mike Vrabel at the podium coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game and the game. Nashville app live out here at Titans training camp. We will hear from Mike Vrabel in just a bit whenever he takes the podium. Hey, the game summer ticket tour is headed to Streetcar Taps and Garden, located at 4916 Charlotte Pike, this Thursday afternoon from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free Sounds, Preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. Also, you can get signed up for the grand prize, Titans tickets, Preds tickets in the 501 Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Sound Waves. Black Tie Moving delivers the Game Summer Ticket Tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Just heard from Titans cornerback Christian Fulton. I think the theme of the year for Christian Fulton is you're going into the last year of your deal. Can you stay healthy? Some of your takeaways, Willie, what you thought from Christian Fulton.
I thought it was insightful. He talked about not only the last offseason or two, but being drafted in the middle of, you know, the pandemic. And he said that this last offseason was the first real offseason he's had to have a full program to do something like this. I'm really curious how that's going to translate when it's time to really play. But he did sort of echo what we've observed, right? It's not easy to play in this league. when you're not feeling 100%. So he's dealt with a lot of things. You know, I wasn't even thinking about the shoulders, right? I was thinking about the groin, the hamstring, the hips, all of the lower yeah. body stuff that we focus on a lot. But he had shoulder surgery last year too. So he's been dealing with a lot of stuff. But you can tell he's confident. He feels really good out there, probably as good as he's felt at this time of the season. And I think he's a big swing player. But I came out of there feeling kind of like I did when we talked to Treylon Burks on Friday. These are two guys that I think feel really good about their off seasons, and I think they're ready they're poised to have big years this year if they can stay on the field.
That's kind of what I took away from it is, yes, Christian Fulton and Treylon Burks are coming into two very different scenarios at the points in their careers. Treylon Burks coming into year two after up and down year one. Christian Fulton coming into the final year of his contract. But both of them have something to prove. Treylon Burks needs to prove that he is a number one receiver in the NFL. Christian Fulton needs to prove that he is worthy of that second contract. And I know it's July. I know it's early. I know that anyone can have good camaraderie and a whole lot of confidence when you're in training camp and pads haven't come on against, you know, the New Orleans Saints in week one. But it does feel like they both have a certain sense of confidence going into this year. Christian Fulton feeling healthy, trying something different. He looks bigger. Mike Vrabel was at the podium on Saturday, talked about how much more confident and bigger and just sure of himself that he feels. And he even said, Christian Fulton even said the same thing. Treylon Burks coming into year two, feeling more confident as Derrick Henry walks by with a swarm of Titans fans getting autographs from Derrick Henry.
Yeah, confidence is such an important thing, especially for a corner. I think you've got to have that. And you can sense that he's got it. It's in there in him. And like we were saying, I think Mike Vrabel knows that if he can get 17 games with him on the field, I think that's going to translate part of an ingredient of a really good defense. I think if it all comes together on this defense, I see a high ceiling that this defense is capable of. And that's the formula, I think, for having a really good year.
The defense is the key between a division win, making the playoffs, making a run in the playoffs. I think it relies on the defense. Azeez Al-Shaair, speaking of defense, is up at the podium, so we will take it to Azeez Al-Shaair now.
I mean, you practice the same way. The only difference is now you get the guy in front of you, you can thud him up. So I don't think it really changes the mentality or anything like that, kind of just the finish. So,
as you guys get out here and work more together, how do you see the personalities meshing and emerging, generate energy in those
types? You just see guys being themselves. You know, there's different type of leaders on this team. And I think, you know, they all lead in their own way, you know, from Derek to KB, you know, to Ryan, myself, you know, Jeff. Everybody kind of has their own style of how they lead their group and their unit. And, you know, it all comes together. And, you know, people picking each other up, feeding off of each other's energy. So, I just think it's really good back and forth competition, which is, you know, right now, a weekend, that's all you really can ask for. And that's what you want to see. Obviously, like, mistakes are going to be made, things like that. You got stuff to build off of, but it's been really good so far.
You mentioned the leadership aspect. How much of a leadership role have you kind of embraced and taken? It's early, but over the last couple days of campus, specifically with that group, your position group?
You know, I've embraced it really since the first day I got here. I knew that was a part of, you know, just me as a person that I felt like I could bring to my room and help to this defense and this team. So it's not, I think it's something that you can't really, like, you know, you can't fake it. You know, you got to be yourself and be authentic, and that's what I try to do, and I think it kind of shows itself, you know, leading by example, helping the guys out, coaching the guys up, even the guys who are across from us, you know, going against the running backs, whether it's one-on-ones, whatever, and, you know, letting them know, hey, I played it this way because I saw you do this, or vice versa. So, you know, it's just allowing us all to, like, sharpen our tools, because when the season starts, I'm not trying to be him. I'm trying to beat somebody else. So, you know, I want him to be as good as he can be, and I know they want me to be as good as I can be so we can go into the season and, you know, get some wins.
How good of a break being able to, you know, be the play caller on
defense? You know, I embrace it. I think it's even in San Francisco, me and Fred had the green dot, but in practice, you know, we both had to use it. And I was, you know, the backup middle linebacker, so I would have to call the stuff as well. And when Fred went down during the season in the last 4 years that I've been there, I was always doing it. So it was something that wasn't new to me at all. I think, you know, just from, I guess, you guys' perspective, you guys don't really, like, understand or know that. Like, you know, in a real game, yeah, it's only one person. But in practice, you know, whoever's the backup, like even right now, Jack Gibbons and Monty Rice, they have the mics as well. So, you know, you have to make the call. So it's something that, you know, I've already been comfortable with doing. But obviously, you know, when you got the green dot and you're expecting to have it, you know, going into the season, you know, it's a good feeling. And, you know, I embrace that role.
How good are those big guys lined up in front of you? Can the front seven of the defense set the tone for this entire team, you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, not just the front seven, but even, you know, the back seven, I think the whole defensive unit. But you talk about that D-line, like I told people all the time, like, I've been real blessed. You know, I've been with two really, 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 really good defensive lines, you know, with San Francisco and now obviously being here. So it really feels the same for me. I don't know anything different, you know. Like, all the stuff that I'm seeing out there right now is exactly what I was seeing for the last 4 years. So I'm just grateful to be a part of that, which is a part of why I felt like it would be good for me to come here, seeing that. From the D line. So
some days, that first day of pads, you know, like coaches would run the Oklahoma drill starting. They put the ball at the 1 yard line. There wasn't any of that. There weren't skirmishes out here. How would you describe the tone and tenor of day one of pads with the
Titans? I think it's just like I said a little bit earlier, like it's a National Football League, you know, like for like Oklahoma drills first day. It's like high school. I just see it as like some little league stuff. Like, at the end of the day, we're in the NFL. It's as high as it gets. This is the best of the best. Your technique, everything that you do, you know, with or without pads, for me, has always been the same. I'm taking the same approach, the same technique. Only difference is the finish. You know, now, as opposed to 2 days ago, I was finishing just punching or moving out the way, letting them run, whereas now I can finish, get a good thud up, and then still just move out the way and let them run. So I think, you know, it's just the same intensity. Like, we don't really change how we do things. It's just the finish at the end is what you change. So, obviously, you're able to be a little bit more physical. But overall, I think it's just the same mentality for a lot of guys.
Hoping you can expand on Jack as a running partner and how you view kind of the two of you together, how that puzzle fits.
I think right now, you know, it's just different guys rotating in and out, you know, trying different things. And Jack, I think, is coming along really well, really smart player. And really just, you know, trying to feed off of each other, help each other out on the field. And I think it's just been good so far, you know, and even other guys rotating in. So we kind of like I said, it's the first week of training camp. So you really don't have, watch out, man. So you really don't have like anything set in stone, but it's been good so far. Same.
You know,
I think it's all the same. Monty is like, I tell him all the time, he reminds me of that old school linebacker. He loved to hit, you know, he loves to make plays in the run game. And, you know, I think he's just overall a solid player and just trying to build off of that and, you know, continue to grow. So I think that's the biggest thing for everybody. We're all doing the same thing, trying to get better every day.
Signing autographs over there and taking pictures with the fans. How much have you kind of embraced Nashville? I feel like you finally settled in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think, you know, the fun part is like it is hot. You know, it's training camp. And to be out here, you know, this is my job. I love what I do, but it's my job. And, you know, all those kids, I told guys when we were breaking it down, like, I remember being a child, like, if I could come to an NFL practice and see NFL players as, you know, an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, like, it would have made my whole world. So, for me, those type of things I think are always important because you never know who you're, like, motivating or, you know, who you're inspiring by just signing an autograph for a shirt that they probably won't fit a year from now. So, I think it's just special, you know, and I embrace the whole city of Nashville. Like, it's closer to home for me, you know, being from Tampa and, you know, I like that southern feel. I don't know if I can get with the cowboy boots and the hats and stuff, but everything else has been really good.
The first NFL player you met when you were a kid?
I never met one.
Really?
Yeah, I never, ever. I never knew nobody that went to the NFL. I never knew nobody that even went to college. So for me, you know, I had to kind of see something that wasn't there, that didn't exist. So it was tough for me growing up. So that's why it motivates me a little bit more to, you know, do things like that because I know what I didn't get, and I would never want somebody to be here and me be here and, you know, take 5 minutes, extra minutes out of my day to just sign an autograph, and like that could change somebody's whole life. So,
where did you grow up?
Tampa, Florida.
That's good. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, there you go. That was Titans linebacker Azeez Alshaier. Mike Vrabel will take the podium. Aaron Brewer will as well. So if Mike Vrabel's up, we'll get to that coming up next. We'll get to some of our thoughts on the defense coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
with some speed. I thought there, you know, we stayed up. We tried to take care of each other, and you know that's what we have to do. Come back tomorrow and do it again.
How well done kind of managing the ups and downs of this kind of work you started, and how do you think you did today?
I thought there were some good balls. I thought there were some good decisions down in the red zone. I thought he delivered the ball with some accuracy, tried to push it down the field, and you know, work the concepts that we had going in today just in the red zone. So, you know, take it day by day. There's going to be some good days. There's going to be some bad days, and you know, learn from them and keep progressing. But I thought, you know, offensively, at least from the quarterback position, we got, you know, some pretty good work today. They were able to extend some plays or, you know, take off and run in the red zone, which, you know, we have to be great at defensively, as these quarterbacks that we play against are athletic. And, you know, the reward for taking off in a red zone is a touchdown. So, you know, we have to be great on our rush lanes and be able to affect the quarterback, but, you know, not you know, give up lanes where Malik took off today and Ryan took off once too.
Tight spaces of the red zone maybe favorable for his quick release, Wills?
You know, I mean, I hope that the accuracy and the decision making, you know, being on time, and then certainly the release, anytime that you can, you know, get rid of the football and make it accurate, that's always going to help.
Brought up Jaden Peavy as one of the award winners this offseason. Just kind of what's he done differently this year?
Well, I think he's just moving better. Another year of development and understanding what the NFL game is. He's an intelligent player. He knows all the spots across the front from base and goal, and understanding how to use his length. He's such a long player, be able to use his length without raising up. And I think physically he's better. He's better than where he was last year. So I think that helps. And, you know, he's out there, so that means he's, you know, most likely improving and trying to develop a role.
How much does the caliber defensive line you have, like as good as what that group is, how much does that help you as you're evaluating the offensive line and getting them ready?
Well, I mean, I think that group, you know, again, we're not crowning anybody, but, you know, they work hard. I think they're well coached. I think there's some talent, and, you know, we hold them to a high standard. So, you know, they're just working like everybody else. You know, I think some of the matchups you look at, and, you know, again, we're not game planning for Jeff, or we're not game planning for anybody right now. We're just trying to install. And so you're able to evaluate, you know, how competitive they are against starting caliber football players.
How do you differentiate Gibbons and Rice?
In what regard? Just be more specific here. Just trying to work through the competition.
Yeah, how are the games different, strengths and weaknesses?
No, I think there's right now they're just trying to develop a role on this football team. Obviously, you know, Gibby's got a little bit more length. Monty's probably a little bit, you know, quicker and maybe a little faster. But other than that, they both have, you know, been productive this far, and I thought they both showed up today. You know, I saw Monty show up on the sideline being able to run and go chase down Tajay, you know, on a run. So he showed up. And, again, that's the play speed that we were talking about at times last year, about being around the ball and flying. And that's good to see. And so then we'll keep having them in a competition and know that they'll continue to both get better.
President Matt seems to be catching passes more out front, not letting him get into his body so much to give him a chance to turn up field and run. Is that something that maybe was a point of emphasis this offseason for him?
It's a point of emphasis for everybody to catch the ball out in front of your eyes and not let it get into your body and, you know, where it bounces off a shoulder pad and into a safety's arm. So they hear that ad nauseum, you know, from me and, you know, talking about doing that and allowing Racy to, you know, run through the catch and things like that and body control and stand on your feet and doing all those things after the catch.
Murphy Lessing said afterwards that Rossing's got his hand on a ball that felt good today. Has he been everything you expected him to be since he's been?
Certainly been, you know, having some consistency and a great understanding of what we're trying to do and the different coverages. And yeah, keep working and, you know, jumped in there and helped us out on punt return. And I'm going to make sure that all those, you know, corners understand that they're going to play defense. They're also going to have a role on special teams. And, you know, we'll have to have that from them. But, you know, I think he's been consistent each and every day and understanding, you know, what we're asking them to do in each of the coverages.
A lot of players mentioned that they didn't want to get in any scruffs or fights because they'll be sent straight to the sand pit. Is that something you kind of addressed ahead of time, and did you like that battle?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's lazy. I think it's, you know, that's dumb that hurts the team. You know, you get thrown out of a game, and so you throw a punch in the game, they're going to throw you out of the game. New York's going to review it. I mean, they're going to remove you from the game. So we might as well practice those things now, you know, and try to make it an emphasis that go as hard as you want. Don't throw a punch. Don't be the second guy. They're going to see the second guy to retaliate and be a 15-yard penalty. So might as well practice the way we're hopefully going to play.
You preach compete on a daily basis. How much have you enjoyed so far watching the two young quarterbacks compete?
Did you say corner or quarter?
Quarter.
Well, yeah. I think it's been great. You know, I think it's been great. I think that they, you know, all push each other. And again, you see them getting excited for each other, and you're allowed to do that and still compete and still want to try to win the competition. So I think they both have done some really good things. There's some plays that both of them would like to have back. Again, one day isn't going to make or break anything, but hopefully we can come back tomorrow without a script and put the ball down and see how they function and operate and move through the different situations that we give them tomorrow and see how they lead their unit, whether it's the second group or the third group, and they'll both have opportunities with each of those different groups. So I like where both of them are at. I guess it's nice to have two young guys here that you can develop and work with. I mean, when he needs to throw it, you know, a little harder, we want him to throw a little harder. When he needs to layer the football, then we want him to layer it and not just layer it for the sake of layering it. There was a ball yesterday where he should have ripped, and he layered, and Trayshawn made a hell of a catch. But, you know, I think you kind of have to know when you need to put it on there with some heat and when you need to take a little bit off.
Mike, we see the 2 hours out here when you're with everybody. What are the most important things you want to try to accomplish on the other hours of the day together as we're all in the building?
Continue to move through with the installation. You know, tomorrow we'll start to, you know, we'll give them a script tonight and understand that, you know, give them a game plan, like a mock game plan, like, okay, this is what we're going to have up. You know, we've got 5 days in installation. Not all those plays will be up. Go home, study these plays. These are the plays in the first and second down, different personnel. So this will be our third down package. And starting to understand that and see how they respond tomorrow to not having a script and looking at it in the morning and knowing, oh, I got this play. I'm lining up here. I think this is going to be a huge day for us that we had today, which was great. And then tomorrow, you know, taking that next step of going out and just playing the game, coming from the sideline. That's what we'll probably do tonight, and then obviously moving on to the other situations later in the week.
You mentioned one of the Trayshawn catches. He's one of the young guys that's been showing up for you since he's been here.
I mean, it's just have to get open, catch the ball, and he's done that. He's shown up different team periods, and, you know, again, playing that position as a young player, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of details, a lot of alignments and motions and shifts and things that we try to do. So the more that they can understand that and get lined up, it gives them a chance to execute.
Mike, how do you think Will Levis has done in terms of making a mistake and then going over it, whether it's with the film or in the meeting room, and then coming back out and working on whatever the mistake was the first time?
I mean, I think everybody does that, you know, and that's what we ask them to do, whether it's, you know, Ryan today had one behind, you know, D-Hop, and so, you know, he'll come out tomorrow and spot a couple of those throws up to DeAndre. Will's going to do the same thing with the things that, you know, Timmy and Charles and Pat will talk to him about this afternoon, and Malik will do the same thing. So I think they all, you know, everybody I think is coachable. I think that's something that I love about this team is that they are coachable. We're going to try to coach as much as we can and then, you know, get them to the game and let them go play.
Chris Harris, it seems like after every play, whether good or bad, like he's pulling a guy aside and talking with him. How have you seen the secondary kind of evolve or even get better since he's got here?
Well, again, this is a players' league. You know, this is ultimately a players' league. I love Chris's energy. I think that they are coming together as a unit, which I really love. I think that, you know, I've seen development. I've seen, you know, that connection with Christian and Roger. So that's important. And I think that's been something that's been great. And always finding ways to teach, you know. Love the energy and love the way that, that those guys on the back end with Book and Justin Hamilton and obviously Chris, you know, you see them all being able to grab guys. That's the beauty of having all those guys there, that they can all grab guys, some young guys. Jay Ham meets with the young guys, you know, in the morning to get them prepared. So I think they're off to a good start.
How many five-year-olds would it take to tackle Derrick Henry?
Ton. I don't even know if they could. How many kids would die in the process, I would imagine. I don't know. Do I need to give you a number? Like a legitimate number? What kind of, what's the area? Is it confined space?
I think he's maybe standing, starting to move.
Within like, they have like 5 yards. Okay, so let's say he's got a 10-yard wide space. It would probably take 35. You want to try it? Test it out?
Yeah, can we try it?
Sure, as long as you're one of the five-year-olds.
That might be counted as child abuse.
Thank you.
We had some disease out here, and we talked about his leadership before, but just from an on-the-field, like, technique execution standpoint, what's he shown you so far?
Well, good play speed. Good play speed. I think that you know, again, he's got good ability to break on the football and run, and I think that his speed and his is going to hopefully create some turnovers for us. I think he's just got a good overall. You know, I mean, he's been effective blitzing when we've sent him so far. And a lot of these, you know, some of these techniques are probably new, and some of the defenses are probably new compared to where, you know, he was coming from. But he's been open to learning them and receptive to that.
Since you're in a seemingly good mood to answer his question,
I'm
by telling him, ruin it by saying that.
No.
All right, jersey numbers that guys wear. You wore 50 at New England. I think you wore 93 maybe in Pittsburgh.
I had like five numbers in Pittsburgh. I had whatever one that they gave me.
How attached were you to a jersey number? Did it mean anything in particular?
At 50 probably meant it only means something if you do something in it, I guess, or you're effective player or you're in it. Literally, I went through like three numbers in Pittsburgh. I mean, my poor grandma couldn't keep track. She didn't know I still played for the Steelers anymore. I said, no, I changed my number. She's like, oh, I didn't know you still played. And I was like, yeah, I went from like 96 to 56. Or so, you know, I mean, every guy that came in, I'd take like, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll change. $500, I'll take it. Just, you can have it. See you guys.
An awfully jovial Mike Vrabel today. That was fun. Fun little change of pace. We'll react to what he had. It was fun. We'll react to what he had to say coming up.
I love that.
And interesting, one number that he pointed out, because number 50 was a number that we saw a whole lot of today. So we'll react to what Mike Vrabel had to say, what we saw on the field at practice today. Coming up next, Caroline Willie D-Base, 1025-1063 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.